God is good and all the time. That's his nature, and there's nothing we can do about it. Amen? All right, let's spend some time. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness that is running after us, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for your grace that is sufficient. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for your word, O God. Your word, Father, is life. And it's the light of men. And it shines in darkness, and darkness is unable to overcome it. And so, Father, even as we spend time in your word, O God, that which you have set it to accomplish in our lives today, Father, we pray, O God, that it will in Jesus' name. So we turn over our hearts to you, O God, our concerns, O Heavenly Father, the things, O God, that are weighing us down. Father, we place it at the feet of the cross, O God, and with open ears, open eyes, open arms, open heart, O God, we say, speak to us, Lord. We want to hear from you, Father. We don't want to be the same, Lord. We want change, God. We want to enter into a new understanding, Father, of who you are and of your word. So, Father, do it in the name of Jesus. And as your word goes forth, Father, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say,
amen.
Amen. Today I want to talk about the pursuit of the word of God. And I know this is going to be a warm-up to either Pastor Ralph and myself that will be talking a little bit about the word. If you've been here for the past 4 weeks, Pastor Ralph has been talking to us about faith. Right? He's shown us a picture about faith and what faith looks like. And what are some of the things that we need so that we can grow in our faith. And some of the things that he said, faith is the confidence and hope in Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's not something that is just out there, but it's confidence and faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He said that faith is confidence in what we hope for, and our hope is in Jesus, in what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will yet to do, because he who promised is faithful. We learn that faith is in God. We learn that also faith enables flawed people to accomplish great things. Amen? That's a good amen there. Huh? Amen. Enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by God's power. It enables us to stand also in the face of suffering. And then he ended it last week with this statement. He says, instead of making Jesus smaller, look to Jesus, who initiates and perfects our faith, make you larger. Let his word break the limitations of your faith. Jesus said, all things are possible for him who believes. Amen. I kind of love that picture, because here we see a picture of a limitless God. A God that is infinite. You know, he's all powerful, all knowing. Right? He's self-sufficient, right? And he is so deep and so wide. And yet, he is calling us, okay, who is limited, right? We have limited resources, limited knowledge, limited everything. And this limitless God is calling us, right, to come into him, come towards him. And so, he calls out using words of what? Faith. Right? He calls us out. He calls us, and we make step, little step, by step, by step, by step, as we move from this place of, like what Pastor Ralph would say, small into this place that is large. Amen? Amen? And so sometimes people look, and they're like, oh my goodness, look at this guy. I wish I could be like him. He seems to be like, he has it all together. You know, he's reading his word. He's fasting. He's praying. He is like, oh my goodness. He is so strong in the faith. But what it is just that his ears are open, and God is calling him using words of faith, and he's just taking step by step. bit by bit. And the good news is that God is calling all of us, amen, to know Him, to take those steps of faith. Now, today I want to focus on the words that allows us to break the limitations of our faith, okay? Because every step towards God is a limitation that is broken, amen? Every step that we take towards an infinite, matchless, all-powerful creator breaks a limitation. That's how deep and wide and powerful and strong our God is. Amen? Faith and the Word of God is intertwined, and I will touch on this briefly. In Romans 10, 13, and 17. Now, if you have your Bible, please turn to it. If you have your phone and you utilize your phone, your digital Bible, okay, so you don't want any prints left, you can, you know, pick that up. We're going to Romans 10, 13, and 17. Amen? We are here to hear the Word of God. Amen? Are you excited? Yeah. Oh, come on, there you go. All right, there we go. So Romans 10, 13, and 17. I love this story. I just want to talk a little bit about 17, but this is a very beautiful story. So I'm going to just read it quickly. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? In the Amplified, it says, commissioned and sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Amen? So here we have a story about two characters, okay? Everyone and someone, right? Now, God wants everyone to call on his name, resulting in being saved. But everyone can call if everyone don't believe in the Lord or understand that they need saving. Nor can we expect, the Bible is saying, that everyone to believe if everyone has not heard about him. So for everyone to hear, someone must be commissioned and sent. That someone needs to preach the good news, which is the word of God, to everyone. So God describes as well the someone that is preaching. He says, oh man, how beautiful are their feet that takes this good news to everyone. Amen? However, as someone teaches the good news, there were those who did not subscribe. They didn't click that like button. You know, they didn't say, you know, they didn't say, I'm going to follow. So everyone and someone, they are major players in this story. However, I believe that the subject of this story has to do with God's word and the hearing of it, which produces faith that results in a calling out to God, a being saved, and as Pastor Ralph talks about before in some of his sermons, the exploits of having faith, of walking by faith. Amen? Now, our faith includes crying out to God for salvation, it is not the end. Amen? Well, I got me some Jesus. Altar call was made. I went up there and I give my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. I am saved. Amen. Let me go and live however I please. No. The calling out and saving is just the beginning of an incredible journey of understanding who God is. I mean, look, that should excite you, because the God that I'm talking about, that is infinite, that is powerful, that is almighty, can be understood. Amen? So he can be understood. Right? And so he's calling us unto himself so that we can understand him and find pleasure in him as his children. There is no pleasure like the Holy Ghost pleasure. Amen? Amen. There is no pleasure like knowing God pleasure. Amen? There is no pleasure like discovering him, discovering a part of him that you can trust and lean on, because he is so infinitely great. He is so awesome. To know just a little piece of him can keep you for the rest of your life. Praise God. A journey, though, that requires faith and hence requires the Word of God. So he's calling. He's throwing it out there. And he wants us to respond. So God is always in the business of raising up someone to share with everyone his Word, so that they would be, so that in response they would call out, they would be saved, and they would have this journey with him, and they would find pleasure in him. And although everyone is not subscribing, history has shown us over the past 2,000 plus years, someone has been sharing the good news about Jesus with everyone. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decades after decades, centuries after centuries. And here I even stand before you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has a seed, the Word of God, that once you hear it under the right conditions, it will blossom into faith and cause you to cry out. Cause someone to cry out. So there will always be someone that is sharing the word, because God backs his word. Amen? And that's why the Roman says that faith comes by hearing what God is saying, and hearing comes as you preach the word of God. Amen? So Paul is talking about here as well in Romans 10:17. He's talking about saving faith. Nevertheless, the principle applies that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. You know, in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, I said before, this is just the beginning. When we step into Christ, it is just the beginning of an incredible journey. Now, in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ, let me see by hands, how many of you have received Christ? Therefore, as you have received him, and you didn't work for it, it was given. So, as you have received him, it says, listen, so walk with him. Amen? Walk in him. Rooted and build up in him. Be established in him, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So if we claim to receive Christ, we need to walk in him. This is not just a hello and a goodbye thing. Hey, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. Goodbye, Jesus. It is not, hey, Jesus, see you next week, Sunday. It is an everyday privilege and delight to walk with the one who is in charge of it all. You know, if I had to, you know, this is a good selling point for the gospel. Huh? The one that you're going to be walking with and have the privilege of walking with is in charge of everything. Amen? His eye sees everything and he knows everything. In fact, in scripture it says that the world is sustained by his word. Amen? So that's a privilege. It's a privilege. So we ought to move forward with Jesus. Where he's leading, we follow. As he speaks, we hear and we adjust ourselves. It says, walk in him. If you've received him, be rooted and built up in him. I know I like this picture because it's a picture of a tree, right? Whose roots go deep. And the deeper the roots of a tree, we know that the more stable that tree is. It can find an oasis of nutrients and water even in the midst of drought. Amen. When it has good roots. And the growing is not just in the roots of the tree, but also we see the tree grow, the trunk expand, the branches, the leaves. The Bible says, so we ought to grow in him. Many times people don't see the roots of a tree. You know, they would pass a tree. What do we see? We see the trunk. We see the twigs. We see the leaf. We see the crown of the tree. You know, if the tree is bearing fruits, we see the fruits. But many times we don't see the, because it's under. There we go. But the Bible says, listen, you need to be rooted and built up in him. So above the ground and under the ground, what people can see and what people can't see, that needs to be built up. Amen. And rooted, embedded in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Trying to find where I'm doing my notes. Okay, so God is not interested in pretense, nor does he desire for us to be stagnant. He wants us to be embedded in Jesus, and he wants us to grow in him. The good thing is that we are growing every day. Isn't that true? We're learning stuff. We're in places and we're growing in different areas. We're learning new things every day. As you learn and as you grow, grow in Jesus. Grow in your understanding of the word about what it is that you're even growing in. Praise God. Grow. Grow in good times. Grow when it's painful. But you gotta grow. Amen. You got to grow. He works. The Bible says that we are trees. He works to make us trees of righteousness. A planting of the Lord. For what? The display of his splendor. So, if you receive him, be rooted up and built in him. And also be established in the faith. When you want to start something, when you want to, search something on the internet, where do you go? Google. There we go. Google. Right? When you want to look at a short video to catch some highlights, where do you go? YouTube. That's right. Now, when you want to exercise, where do you go? To the gym. Right? There we go. We got somebody was convicted today. All right. So, when you want a burger, where do you go? All right. I was hoping somebody said Wendy's. Yeah, there you go. So when you are sick in the middle of the night, where do you go? Some people Bible, some people hospital. Okay, praise God. But usually you would run to a hospital, depending on how sick and severe it is, right? There are some places that have been established over the years that when there's a certain need, we easily go there. Right? And so when you want your faith to grow, where should we go? That's right. To the Word of God. Since God has made it very clear in his Word, he says, faith comes by hearing what is being said, what is being told, and hearing what is being said through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to position ourselves to hear God's word. I think being here today is putting yourself in a position to hear God's word. Being a part of a life group is putting yourself in a position to discuss and talk about God's word. Right? On your own, when you wake up in the morning and you peel the word of God, it's a good place to hear the word of God. Amen? Because we depend on God's word for faith. We depend on the word of God to build our faith. So God takes his word then very seriously. It is why we see that many times he works with someone to to understand his word. And he then sent that someone to everyone so that another someone would hear what, sorry, so that someone among the everyone would hear the word and respond. Amen? And God has been doing this for since the beginning of time. In Matthew 13, 12, it says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. For whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given. And he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, that's a serious statement there, man. It says, if you value the word, you'll get more of the word. If you value also who's behind that word, amen? Like, to value the word, you need to value the person that is behind the word, the ones that, the source of the word, amen? And so he's saying, but you get in the word. You need to, when you value the word, the source will give you more. But when you don't value the word, then whatever little that you got, it will be taken away from you. So we need to take the word of God seriously. Amen? Now, the story behind Matthew 13, I want to give some emphasis on the story because it also shows the importance of the word of God. And this is in, if you have a Bible, Matthew 13, 12. And this is the story of the parable of the sower. Okay? So we're going to just look behind. I'm going to paraphrase first. And then I want to show you and talk a little bit about the four hearers of the word. Okay? So Jesus was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd began to gather to him. And so he began to talk to them in parables. 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 What is parables? Parables are like moral tales. It's like a story that has a hidden meaning in it. And many times Jesus uses parables to talk to people. Right? It's a story that is told that you quite don't get it. It's like, huh? Have you ever listened to someone, you're like, huh, what is he saying? You know, I remember when I went to the Bahamas, and we moved from Guyana to the Bahamas, and the guys had an accent. And so they would come up and talk to me, hey, blah, 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 in, you know, the Bahamian dialect, the accent. And so I'd be like, yeah, yeah, okay. I was just looking for clues. When they laugh, I would laugh. When they're serious, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah. Right? So I just try to copy what they were doing. Right? To me, parables, right, are something like that. It's like, you know, you and sometimes they're saying something that I need to hear. But because of the, I can't understand it, what they're saying, I don't get it. When I went in my classroom, it was a different scenario. The teacher, excuse me, can you please repeat? Excuse me, did you say? Excuse me, right? You get the drift, right? Praise God. And Jesus many times spoke in parables, telling people stories, yet within this, and stories that they don't get, yet within this, in the story, there is something that they need. And so, Jesus was sitting. Actually, God's written word sometimes, when I read the Bible, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like, what? What did he just say? What? No, where did, what? And you start just looking because it feels like it's a parable. You know, I need to get something there, but I can't really understand what is being said. Right? We do have a cheat code. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. But there are times when you get there and you need to dwell there a little bit. So here we go. Verse Matthew 13, verse 3, it says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow." So this is God sends someone to share the word of God with everyone, right? And then he illustrates four hearers of the word. The first in verse 4, he says, "And he sowed some seeds, and they fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them." This was a parable even to the disciples. So they asked Jesus, "What are you talking about?" And Jesus interpreted what he was talking about. He says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." So the first hearer of the word of God, when someone goes into everyone and declare the word, is this: everyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil steals what was sown in their hearts. That's a hearer. The second hearer, praise God, the second hearer is everyone who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but has no root. They endure for a while, but when trials and tribulation happens because of the word, they fall away. They received it with joy. They understood that I needed that. That was good. You know, like when you're in church, you got a word, and say, that was good. And you come to the pastor after, you're like, "Pastor, that was good. That was a good, good word." And then you leave, and you roll down, and then somebody caught in front of you. And you're like, what's going on? This person don't know how to drive. Then you get home, and then all of a sudden, right, you run over a tire. Say the word is like, "God will meet all your needs," you know, and you roll over a tire on your way home. Boom, your car you have a flat. Costs money now. You really don't have a whole lot. So now you go and you spend your money on this, you know, and you have different trials and tribulations that week. And come back on Sunday, it's like, "Hey, what did we talk about last week?" Be like, "Well, you know what, Pastor, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue." Receive it with joy, but the root needs to grow. Amen? The root needs to what? To grow. Endures for a while, but when trials and tribulation happen because of the word, they fall away. Now, we are talking about the word of faith that an immense, infinite God is speaking to draw us to himself one step at a time so that we could be built up in him. Praise God. The third hearer. The third is everyone who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. This is not me saying this. This is the word of God. Saying that sometimes everyone that hears the word, they're struggling. Money, riches, comes and chokes the word. He says, not just riches, he said the deceitfulness. Because riches have a way of deceiving you. It has a way of deceiving us. Money has a way, enough will tell us, "Hey, we are okay now. We've arrived. We're somebody because we have possessions. We have riches." And it has a way of telling us that, you know what? We don't need all this stuff. We have riches. Right? And so the deceitfulness of riches sometimes work. Right? Because it builds up pride. And once pride is built up in our hearts, you know, you can't hear. You can't get anything from God. Right? God says he resists those that are proud, but he gives humility, right, to those that are humble. Praise God. So the fourth is everyone who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit and produces 160 and 30. Praise God. The Word of God should cause us to be fruitful. It says here, the ones that receive the Word and understands it, they bear fruit. Hundreds, 60, and 30. So we need to position ourselves, amen, to hear and understand what God is saying to us. Because if you can't, you'll be frustrated. You'd be unfruitful. And an unfruitful believer can be a very grumpy believer. And that is not where we want to be. Can I get an amen? More seriously, though, you can be stagnant. And as a result, you wouldn't experience the joys that this immense God, you understand, is calling for us to experience. Amen? And so we got to take that step by step by step. Walk of faith. Now, there's a fifth part of this hearing, and that is in verse 9. So if you have your Bible, go to Matthew 13, verse 9. Now, the disciples were saying to Jesus, "Man, listen." They ask him a question. Well, Jesus said something after he gave the parable. He gave it first, and then he explained what it means. He said to them, "He who has ears," do we have ears in the house? There we go. We all have ears. "He who has ears, let him hear." Okay? So the disciples ask a question concerning the parables. They said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Like they knew what Jesus was talking about. But so that they don't look bad, because he says, "If you have ears, hear what God has said," right? And they were like, "Oh man, what did he just say? Jesus, why do you speak to all these people in parables?" Right? But Jesus then explained the parable to his disciples. And then this is what he had to say in verse 11. He said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For to the one who has," this is where we have that scripture, "more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see." So Jesus has been doing miracles. He's been touching lives. They see all of this, but in seeing it, they really couldn't understand it. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know how to make sense of it. It was right there before them, the Messiah. Seeing the miracles, they couldn't see. Right, let's pick it up. "And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." So I'm telling them the word, but they still don't understand. Whether in parables or not parables, they're not understanding it. "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. So you will never have faith. And you will indeed see, but never really perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull.'" So the reason why they were unable to hear and to see is because their hearts have grown dull. That is such a sad place. A dull heart. So God can speak. And he can tell you something, but you're not making any steps. You stand firm in where you are and make no step to move forward. He says, and their ears, they can barely hear, and with their ears, they can barely hear, and with their eyes, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But then he looked at his disciples. He looked at the ones who have made that step of faith. The step of faith that says, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, we will follow you. He looks at these beloved disciples, the ones that have been walking with him. And he said to them, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Praise God. For those that are in Jesus, we hear. Amen. I want to encourage you today, because there are many distractions that we face in our walk with God. And many believers today don't read the Word of God. Don't spend time in the place of reading God's Word. And that's what I mean by positioning yourself. When I said it's positioning yourself on a daily basis to read God's Word, to make His Word priority. Because it's the only way that faith can come. And when faith comes, you begin to perceive what God has perceived. You're able to see what God sees. You see, when you're able to see what God sees, faith paints a picture for you. But it will not happen if you don't have the Word of God. So you need to hear it. Amen. You need to meditate on the Word. You need to read it again and again and again and make it your habit, because the one who is speaking to you is so vast. He knows all your problems, all your situations, what you are going through, all your weaknesses, every single thing he knows about you. And he is calling you to himself. Come, come, come to me, come to me. Right? So if we don't, and so we need to go to him. And when we go to him, he shows us, hey, you see that thing that you are struggling with? Huh? This is how you deal with it. You see that lack that is in your life? Huh? This is why it's in your life. So that you can make the necessary adjustments so that now you can walk in power, in faith that is growing. Amen? As you take one step after another. So God says, listen, man. You see. You hear. Amen? And you, as for you, I will make you understand. Because there's something about faith as well. It's not just this whole, faith. And we say, faith in Jesus. I have faith. And you have no understanding of what you have. No, it's not that. It is understanding. When you understand, your faith will grow. Your faith would be able to now hold revelation, what God has revealed. My God. You will be able to hold it. Amen? You will be able to be that good soil that will bear fruit. Amen? Because you have understanding. You can't just go seeking, I want God to reveal. Father, Father, reveal, reveal, reveal. Yes, God is God. He may reveal a few things. But we need understanding. And that comes by grinding it in the Word of God. Reading that Word. reading books on the Word of God. So God says yes. He wants. He wants us to hear. He wants us to see. He wants us to understand. And do you know what he wants us? He says, listen, he wants you to turn. Okay? Turn. Turn. Because when God shows you what he wants you to do, he wants you to turn from what you want to do to what he wants to do. And so, that, my friend, if you have no word, if you have no faith, guess what? You will stand there, dry. But when you turn and you begin to grasp what God has for you, you begin to grasp his word and he's speaking into your life, and you are moving over obstacle after obstacle, you know, people are looking at you and say, oh my goodness, how? Like, how? Right? It is because you are making those steps. You've turned. So not only turn, but God said, listen, when you turn, when you turn, he says, I will heal you. I will make you whole. I will make you whole. All the brokenness. Because some of us, we have lots of brokenness. We don't have to look too far to find brokenness. We see it in our parents or lack thereof when we were growing up. So we see brokenness. We see it in our neighbors. We surrounded by brokenness. God says, I want to make you trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God wants to heal that brokenness so that brokenness can shade others, can be shared with others. That is the kind of God that we serve. He said to Peter, Peter, the devil has requested to sift you like wheat, to crush you. But he said, you know what? I've prayed for you. That when you come out of that crushing, he didn't say, I'm going to remove the crushing. He says, when you are crushed, if you want oil, you got to crush that olive. When you are crushed and you finish that process of crushing, then you come and encourage others. Then you come and encourage others. Man, my faith. I am so, like how Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the salvation of all men, now and for eternity. Amen? Now and for eternity. And we got to walk in it. You walk in it, you get the fruits of it. You don't walk in it, you'll be dry. Jesus says in Matthew 13:12, for whoever has spiritual wisdom, because he's receptive to my word, to him more will be given. And he'll be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom, because he has devalued my word, it is a book that is by his bedside and it's never looked at. Bought with good intentions, but intentions that wasn't realized. Even what he has will be taken away. I want to encourage you today. Value the word of God. Pick it up. The Bible you bought. Pick it up. Pick it up and read it. Let it dwell in you richly. God has so many promises for those that read the word and meditate on it. So many promises. Yokes will be broken off of your lives. because of reading the Word of God. In Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, but he meditates on the Word day and night. Joshua 1 says, Joshua 1a, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And so that you'll be successful. Sometimes I look at this thing, and I'm like, God, it don't make any sense. I'm serious. It don't make any sense. How do I sit and read this and my ways are going to be successful and I'm going to be prosperous? Do you know what I can do in that 1 hour or 2 hours? Like, how does it? How does it make sense? Well, it doesn't out of faith. That's a simple answer. Because the one who is in charge of everything says so. Full stop. Full stop. And faith is just saying, hey, man, you said so. So I'm going to do so. Right? The one who is in charge of everything. That's vast God. Says so. And so we do so. Let's rise to our feet. As we write, I read this last scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, child of God, may be completely equipped for every good work. Let's rise. Man, God is good. Amen. God is good. So let's leave this place today. And this is my believing Father. The worship team is around. Yeah, come. Don't run. Is that God would give us a new desire and passion for His Word. That is my prayer today. That God would renew a fire in us for His Word. Like a burning, overwhelming passion. That when you pick it, you will even feel His presence. That you will fall in love all over again. With the Word. That is my prayer. And as they worship, I want you to meditate on that. I'm going to pray at the end, but if you also want prayer, you can come up here and we'll pray with you. But also if you're there and you want to talk to God, you know where you're at with the Word, talk to Him.